Blog Talk Radio.
Replay.
Results.
Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me. It's Mr. FFP, better known as the VIC, Vic in the place to be. I'm sitting there for JTATM Money, you know, because this stuff ain't funny. He's out. He's doing some things with the family. You know, I can't knock the guy. He works like a real job, and then he comes and hosts like three or four shows. So, you know, I gotta step in for him. With me today on the crew show is one of the mainstays, Jeff.
Why so serious?
The Joker. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, I'm good. Nice to be on with you, Vic.
Yes. As always, I know everybody loves me. Everybody hates Chris, but they love Vic. We also have a very, very special co-host today. She is a wonderful lady. She's also going to be hosting a new show on our brand, on Fantasy Sports and Politics. She's the former head basketball, female basketball coach at Boston College. Hopefully I got that right and she don't smack me upside my head. Miss Sylvia Crawley, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Vic, for having me on the show today.
Oh, you know it. I didn't smoke it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys are probably not used to my antics because y'all so used to the old guy sitting here being deliberate and stuff like that. But what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about what's going on in sports. We're also going to give Sylvia a crash course in hosting the show. If you want to call in, by all means, because you know we're going to talk about some crazy things, you can dial the number 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. We also have the chat room live and in living color. We got the Joker in the chat room monitoring that for us. Right, Joker?
You better believe it.
All right. If you want to get in on the chat, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. Again, that is blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. Now, check this out, guys. It's been a crazy week in sports. We have Mr. Collins, who's an active but not active NBA player, coming out and being the first openly gay male professional athlete in the United States, and a lot of talk about it. We can jump into that. We have some baseball to talk about, the NBA playoffs. We've got political stuff to talk about. We've got Sylvia's show to talk about. I'll leave it up to our new host. Let's bring it in right, Jeff. Sylvia, what do you want to talk about first?
Of course, I want to talk about my show, Time Out.
There you go.
And when I think about a timeout from a coach's perspective, it's a time during the game, usually every 4 minutes, you know, especially if it's a televised game. But it's a time where you pause, you reflect, you assess the situation, you refuel. The players are refueling with Gatorade. They get a towel. They get to rest a little bit, sit down. We regroup, and then we resume play with the opportunity to perform better. And so I'm excited about my show being called Time Out with Sylvia Crowley because it's primarily about sports and the life lessons that I've learned through sports. And I often compare the game of life to sports because it's very similar. However, I'll be able to interview different guests from all walks of life and really highlight any timeout moments that they had in their lives where it caused them to kind of stop and pause, assess the situation, correct some things, and then they got a second chance to get it right, you know, and go back out there so that they could win ultimately. And so, you know, as I look through just my phone and my Facebook friends and Twitter friends, I get excited thinking about all the people that I could pull on the show and interview them and thinking about their timeout moments. And I think the listeners will really be inspired and really grow and learn from other people's timeout moments.
You know what? Just for that, I'm going to give you this. Now, you said it sounded like rain, but I'm not going to get mad at you. It's all good. I mean, that's wonderful. Now, look. Self-promotion is great. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Every Monday starting May 13th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I say it again, starting May 13th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Time Out with Sylvia Crowley will be airing on this here Blog Talk Radio. I call it a network. But we're a family, this Blog Talk Radio family. So when you need to check it out, blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, every Monday beginning the 13th of May, 7 p.m. Now, if you're not able to catch it live, because I know some people are busy, you can always check her out on our archives. You can always pull the shows on iTunes. Just go to the RSS feed and look us up, blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, and you can download all of our shows to your smartphone, iPhone, Android, it doesn't matter. We're just cool like that. And I believe Sylvia will have a wonderful, wonderful show coming up because I'm telling you, I'm tagging her with Kim, two dynamic women that are bold, steadfast in their beliefs, and they have a positive message. Gives a little bit of the riffraff of myself and Jerry and I believe my cousins on the line and everybody from acting all crazy. They're going to bring you down to earth and give you a proper perspective. Time Out with Sylvia Crowley, 7 p.m. every Monday beginning May 13th. We got a call from the 301. I believe it's my cousin, Mikhail the Poet, if you didn't know it. But I'm going to bring him on and see what he got to say. Call from the 301. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics Cruise Show. Please state your name.
Slim, won't you stop introducing me real gay like that, man?
You sound real gay, Slim.
I'm serious. It ain't even funny.
Because I am
one wicked poet. I have opened up for many, many artists, and I test it up. I'm Mikhail, the poet. Nah, Slim, it ain't like that. It ain't like that. Hold on, Slim. Let me let you understand this. I have battled rappers for years. Hold on, Slim. Back up. I have battled rappers for years. I have battled rappers, poets, any of them jokers. Anybody want to take it, want to get it in, they can get it in with me. It ain't like that. So you need to stop. You need to stop and respect.
I asked you one time before.
Now, I love you, but you're going to stop.
All right, Michael, because I call you Mike. You grew up as Michael.
Whatever, Slim.
Listen, we have a new host coming on. Did you hear the intro for Sylvia?
No, after I heard that, Mikael, I zoned out again, Slim. Like, what is this dude doing? What is
Sylvia,
he doing?
You see what I got to deal with. You see what I got to deal with.
Mikael, wait. Mikael, this is Jeff, the Joker. Wait,
what's up, Jeff?
Are you saying you don't like the Jason Collins style intro? Is that what you're saying?
Oh man, Slim, Jeff, that ain't even worthy of Jeff Collins. Ain't he worthy of Jeff Collins?
Wow.
They ain't even worthy of Jeff Collins.
Are you going to
because Vic?
Because
you know what? You know what, Jeff? You know what, Jeff?
No,
Vic don't. Vic just don't understand it. He don't understand it.
Whatever.
He does not understand it. No, you. I know you don't.
This
I know
is my
you
family,
don't.
Sylvia. See, this is what happens when you start your show on the 13th. Your family's gonna call in, and you're gonna have to deal with them too.
How you doing, Sylvia?
Anyway,
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just got to get my cousin straight because, you know, he forever thinking he running something, but he ain't running nothing. And there ain't but one star in the family until he can get it in his head.
I just spent 10 minutes dealing with this. All right, check this out. Okay, just so you know, and I'll reiterate it, Sylvia Crawley is the former Boston College head basketball coach, former North Carolina Tar Heel, current ordained minister. She is a dynamic individual. Her own magazine, something I'm trying to do, and I'll let her talk about that as well. But she's going to begin a program with us beginning May 13th at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Time Out with Sylvia Crawley, and I'll let her talk about it a little bit more later. What, since you missed the grand intro of her, you can only focus in on yourself. We'll move on to sports, okay?
I want to know if she's going to get a picture. That's all I want to know.
Sylvia, he didn't even see it. She has, you know what, will you be quiet? Will you stop it? Will you stop it?
I'm just saying. I mean, Kim ain't got hers yet. I mean, I just want
to
know if this young lady going
to
get hers, too.
I'm going to mute you. She's going to get a picture. She got herself up. Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I told you, him and Matt go at it. He and Matt go at it. They are two of the same, just from different angles. I'm just letting you know, Sylvia. So if my cousin ever call in, just get ready to deal with another Matt, but just from a different angle. So I'm just telling you. All right, I want to get into this, because Jeff's in that area. Jeff's up in New York, and I love hearing his perspective on things. Jeff. What's going on with the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics series? Can you tell me? They're your Knicks. It's your Knicks, dude. What's going on?
Oh, dude. You don't want to know. The Knicks, they started the season red hot smoking, and they kind of, you know, cooled off, and then they finished the season strong. You know, I like the Knicks because it's a lot of old guys, you know. And I suspected this, and it's the oldest roster in NBA history. And there's a lot of good that comes with that, but a lot of bad. And the guy who's on my poop list now is J.R. Smith. And I hate saying it because he's from Jersey. He's from Freehold, the same place Springsteen's from. And I think it took a while for fans to warm up to him, but, you know, once... You know, he got in the groove. I mean, he showed that he could really score. And, you know, the only two scorers they have are him and Melo, but those are two great scorers. But then, you know, Smith, you know, he gets suspended for a game. Okay, it happens. Guys lose their temper once in a while. As long as it's not a total meltdown like the Malice in the Palace, you forgive him. Then he shoots his mouth off and says, oh, we would have won Game 4 if I was playing. He plays in Game 5, and then he's just throwing up one brick after another. I mean, it's hard to like a guy like that. And it's funny, his dad is, no pun intended, is a mason, a bricklayer. Well, let me tell you, his son throws up a lot of bricks too, no joke. I couldn't make that up. His father's a mason. They just showed him on local TV down there in Freehold.
Well,
but I mean, the thing is that if I just for the Celtics to get back into it, it just you don't want to see it. You know, it'd be nice if they could have had a week off and whatever, but they screwed it up. And Celtics are offensively challenged. I mean, the fans are screaming, fans in Boston are screaming, defense, defense. They should be screaming offense, offense. I mean, they got a lot of problems putting the ball through the hoop. But I'll tell you, for moments, Garnett looked like he found the fountain of youth. I mean, he still got something left.
I'm gonna jump in here, Jeff.
Sylvia
was in that area. She knows a little bit about it. She's a former basketball player. You know, what's going on, Sylvia? I know you're not probably a Celtics fan, but what's going on?
I really haven't been keeping up with that series, but I'm not sure if Rondo is still out, but I agree in the fact of Garnett looks really well right now, so I like how he's playing. You know, Pierce at any day could step up and do his little fadeaway shot, or his pump fake and then jump into his defender and draw fouls, So in my opinion, with the Knicks and the Celtics, I think you can win games with a big two, but I honestly think you need a big three to win championships. And so,
the team that finds
three players that can score in double figures, I think is the team that will go far in that series.
Okay, so speaking from your professional opinion, now is there any player in that series between the Knicks and the Celtics that you can go on the court and take right now? Or when you were in coming out of North Carolina Tar Heel, is there any player out there right now that you think you can take?
You didn't go there, did you?
Yes, I did.
I play pickup with guys a lot, whether that's just off the street or here at Fort Knox on the base. I'll go play with a bunch of guys. When I was in college, I played at the Smith Center with our men's team, and even in the pros, I played for San Antonio with the Spurs, as well as in Boston with the Celtics. And I just think the men are more stronger than women, so at any given time they could overpower me and just buck me to the basket. I think women's basketball is different. It's more pure. We do it for the love of the game. We're not thousandaires in the WNBA. I mean, we're not millionaires. We're thousandaires. So we really do it for the love of it. It's not that we're making millions and millions of dollars and that's driving us. So it's just more of a pure game, more fundamentally sound. You'll see, this is the comparison I always make. When a ball is shot in a women's game, you'll see six people going after one little ball. Three people will hit the ground. Some people will fall out, and two people, it'll be a jump ball at the end. To me, that's exciting to watch. When you watch men's basketball, someone says, I got it. Everybody else clears out. There may be one person that challenges that person on the rebound, but pretty much the person that jumps up first is going to get the rebound, and they're off, So different styles, I think both can be respected, but I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I can beat, NBA players. I'm not even going to take it there.
you can beat, Rajon Rondo right now.
I can hold my own and stay on the court where it wouldn't be a situation where they wouldn't want me to play. I understand spacing, and, if I was playing with Carmelo, I know to get out of his way, and he's going to the basket, So, I could play with those guys, but I wouldn't say I can beat, any of the NBA players. I have a lot of respect for their game.
See, ladies and gentlemen, Sylvia just took a timeout. She had to sit back, reflect, and regroup. She was going to walk into my trap, but she thought about it, and she let it go.
I'm smarter than that, Vic.
5:13, 7 p.m., timeout with Sylvia Crawley. I'm just saying. All right. I got to bring my cousin up in here. He's been silent for a little bit.
Wait, Vic, before you start, I will say that one of your other hosts, Mac, I have been known to dunk on him on a pickup game. Ask him about it.
I'm one of the few women in the country already.
And I'm a trash talker. And I'm a trash talker, too. So I'm one of the few women in the world who could slam dunk, won the slam dunk contest blindfolded, and I dunked on Mac Williams. Ask him about it.
Don't do it, Mike. It's done, Slim. It is done. It's done.
You don't know what you just did. I'm telling you, Mac.
I'm in love with her already.
Oh my god. Okay, let's move. She done put Mac out there. She done put him on Front Street. Hopefully he call in and defend himself. But tomorrow I'm going to co-host with him. And if it happens to come up, I'll let him tell the story. You're wrong, Sylvia. You're just so wrong. All right.
Of course he has a totally different version, but we'll let him say his version.
Of course he will. All right, Mike, this past Saturday we talked about the Clippers pretty much having an easy way to the Western Conference Finals. It looks like the tide has turned. What's going on with the Clips in the Grizzly series? What's going wrong with that?
I called in to Jerry's show on Sunday, and we had a good powwow about it, and I'll rehash it because it's some of the similar things I'm seeing. Some of the similar things I'm seeing out of Brooklyn, and some of the similar things I'm seeing out of New York as well, with the Clippers. Two words, no heart. No heart. I don't see no heart. Them youngins ain't got no heart. They got no heart, man. I just don't see who won it. I don't see who won it. You know, they got the regular blasé. Yeah, I'm a play. But soon as some of these dudes get up to some real adversity and really got to, you know, take it to it, They not bringing it. They coming up soft. I am just baffled by it. Really.
Well,
I mean,
okay, check this out. I think they're playing tonight, or they're playing right now because it's Eastern time.
Yeah, they playing now.
I think, because I was talking about it at work with a couple of my coworkers, I think Zach Randolph has said, you know what, the Grizzlies actually had one of the best records in the NBA during the season for a while. Isn't that right, Joker?
I think they were one of the best records, but I think they were doing pretty well. I'll tell you, the Knicks could use Zach Randolph back right now.
People didn't like him
when he played for the Knicks. I mean, he had his shortcomings, but I thought he was a very good ball player. A lot of attrition in these playoffs. So many hurt players, guys who got hurt late regular season in the playoffs. By the finals, there's going to be nobody left. It's a real long season. You got to be in shape.
I agree with you, but there's no substitute for heart, man. I mean, even when Blake was healthy, he was getting abused by them dudes. Those two dudes, Gasol and Zach Randolph, man, them dudes down there, they want it. They down there, they taking it to them. They are taking it to them.
Right. That's part of my point, that Zach Randolph, there's not that much on the Grizzlies team. You got Conley Jr. You got a lot of guys there that have, you know, they're considered marginal players, but they're working well as a team. Zach Randolph has an all-around game that Blake Griffin needs to get. You know,
mm-hmm.
Paul Gasol has an all-around game that Griffin needs to get. So my question to the panel, which is all three, and I'm going to let Sylvia, then you, then Jeff answer it. Okay, what do the Clippers need to do in order to become that galvanized unit and win this series and go on to the next round? Let's start with Sylvia, Mike, then Jeff.
I don't want to start.
You don't want to start?
No, let me go last.
Okay, geez. I'll
go
first. All right, go ahead, Mike.
I go first. You know what they need to do? They need to call up the Hart Foundation, Slim.
Oh, my God.
Hart, seriously, Hart. They need to call the Hart Foundation. You know, and I understand, you know, the all-around game thing. And none of those teams are devoid of talent, man. None of them, they not. They
I
not
agree.
Devoid
I
of
agree.
Talent, and they not devoid of game. What they are missing is heart. Them Bammers ain't got no heart. As soon as they get up to a little bit more adversity, they crumbling like cheap suits, man. They keep crumbling, and you can look at the Boston and the Knicks. Look right there. Them Bammers is folding up. You got youngins sitting. They coming in there. They all black on and, you know, talking all this smack, but couldn't back it up. Boston, them dudes, they done been there. They done lost it before. You're going to have to go there and take it from them. You know what I'm saying? And the Knicks ain't doing it. They just think they just could just show up and just shoot, and that'll be it. Nah, it ain't going to be like that. And Boston just showed them that it's not going to be like that. The Grizzlies are showing that to the Clippers. You know, ain't no Lob City going on out that junk, man. It's down there in that paint. Down there in that paint. And, you know, Barkley been talking about this for a long time. And a lot of times I would just dismiss some of the stuff he said. Now I'm just like, you know what? This dude is right. He is right. He is spot on. I will never discount what he say again. Because he's right on the money.
Okay. I mean, I agree with Charles Barkley, too. I mean, I'll get into that in a minute. But, Jeff, you got the floor.
You know, the thing is, as good as talented as Blake Griffin is, until he wins the championship, he's never going to get a lot of respect. And that's the way it is in the NBA. And there's 30 teams and only one championship every year. And, you know, you could put up great numbers year after year, but until you win it, you don't get the respect. And I think, you know, some guys, really do want it a lot more than others, and it's, you know, one team out of 30, you know, so it's very difficult. And Memphis was, talking about Memphis before, they finished second place in the Southwest Division behind San Antonio, only two games behind. They won 56 games. I'll tell you, last year, that Memphis-Oklahoma City series, that game that went, I don't know how many overtimes, that was one of the best games I ever saw in my life. I hope
Young
I could see. I hope I could see another game like that this playoffs. Hopefully the Knicks will win it. But I'll tell you, if it'll be a long off season if the Knicks lose this series to Boston. Everything good they've done this year goes down the toilet. And believe me, the New York media and the New York fans are tough. And believe me, they'll be egging Carmelo's house like it's Goosey Night.
Man, Carmelo don't need that, man. He don't need it.
Yeah.
They don't need it.
I'll do this.
They'll celebrate Goosey Night all over the country, but it's big in the New York area.
Well, because y'all are crazy.
When I was a kid, I thought it was all over the country, and then I found out it's only in certain parts. Like, well, I heard Detroit is worse than New York, but New York area, Goosey Night is huge.
I don't know. Boston's pretty tough.
For real?
Boston is
a tough area. I mean, they are fair weather fans there. If you're winning, they love you. But if not,
Goosey Night is tough.
Well, I'll say since we're talking about all the series here, I'll relate it back to the Clippers and Grizz, and then I'm going to let Sylvia jump in. My cousin, I feel he's right about the heart deal. And, yes, Charles Barkley has said time and time again, the players nowadays could never play back in the 70s, 80s, or the early 90s because you're looking at a whole bunch of crap. They're expecting calls and stuff like that. I'll give an example. When Terry accidentally hit J.R. Smith in the jaw when he was going for the ball and Smith didn't get the foul, he decides to retaliate and swing his elbows wildly and get the peck and get thrown out the game. He got thrown out the game for dropping the ball to Terry. He can get thrown out the game for swinging an elbow. But the point is, these players nowadays, they are not fundamentally sound. Sylvia talked about this earlier, about the difference between female basketball and male basketball going up for a rebound. You'll have the heart of six people going for that one ball in a female game, and it ends up being a jump ball, whatever the case may be, whereas in a male game, you might have one or two saying, I got it, and you're not going to see, you know, people going after it that hard. Maybe in the NBA Finals, maybe in the Conference Finals, but not 82 games or however many games they play a year does that happen. In the series between the Grizz and the Clippers, in my opinion, this is my opinion, this is FSP's opinion, Dick's opinion, if the Clippers can get past the Memphis Grizzlies, who, in my opinion, if they were in a different bracket, could have gone to the conference final, right? Could have gone to the conference final. If they get past them and get it together, they have the best shot at beating Miami in the finals if Miami goes, because they have more talent that can work together as opposed to, and I'm sorry, Sylvia, the big three, you know, down in Miami. They have some good talent in Miami, behind Bosch and LeBron and Wade.
Oh, my God.
But in my opinion, I think the Clippers, and I also think coaching, Vinny Del Negro is a hard coach. That's why they don't like him that much. But I think he's a better coach than Sprouls. Sprouls, can't get his name right. I think he's a better coach. It's extremely hard for him.
Sylvia, I want to apologize for my cousin.
I just
had to apologize.
Sylvia's a coach. Sylvia's a coach. She's been in a situation. I'll let her speak on it. You have the floor.
Okay. I actually, you all call it heart. I call it mental toughness. And I think the Clippers,
exactly,
they lack mental toughness.
Thank you.
I think teams that are mentally tough, I mean, if you're not mentally tough, it's hard to push past fatigue. And late in the season, your legs are the first thing to go. So you can't rely on jump shots, you know, but mentally tough teams know that. Like, you know, Kobe knows late in the season he's got to get to the hole. He's got to draw some fouls, get himself to the free throw line, get high percentage shots. I also think if you're not mentally tough, it's hard to overcome the referees. It's hard to overcome the fans or being in someone else's arena. Part of mental toughness is having tunnel vision and not letting people and things get under your skin where you lose your cool, you get thrown out of the game. Like, if people are mentally tough, you can trash talk all you want to them. It doesn't work. Like, they have so much tunnel vision, they're so mentally tough that you can't penetrate their psyche. And I think teams that aren't mentally tough, like the Clippers, I think they can beat the Grizzlies, but I think they will struggle with a team like Miami, because unfortunately, mental toughness is something that you either have due to your life path that you've taken that's made you mentally tough, or it has to be developed. And it's too late in the season during playoffs to try to develop mental toughness. That's my opinion.
I like her, Vic.
She's, like, as I said, former WNBA player, former Boston College.
Nah, I like her because she just squashed all that nonsense you was talking.
She just broke down her version of it.
I just summed up what everybody said, in my opinion.
And that's the thing. Like I said, I think Vinny Del Negro is a hard coach, and that's why some of these players can't get him. That goes back to what Sylvia said. Some of these guys aren't mentally tough. If you can take Vinny Del Negro yelling at you or whatever, and he's not putting his hands on you, he's not pushing you like that coach at Rice. I mean, at
really?
Rutgers. He's not doing that.
That's what you're going with? That's your final answer? Okay. All right. That's right. Boo yourself. Boo yourself. Boo yourself, Slim. Because if you're going with Vinny Del Negro is tough on that team, and that's why they not getting it, and you not getting the part where she said that they ain't got it. They don't have it. And she said that if they went up against the Heat, they're gonna have a tough time with them. And I would think that they would lose. I don't think they got the heart. They should be wrapping this series up with the talent that they have. Hello?
I'm here.
I think you broke the mic. I think you broke the mic.
you shook something loose.
Yeah, I done shook something loose. But well, I think his phone got mixed up.
It did.
Oh, you back?
Lost all green.
Oh, I was about to take over your show, Slim.
Sylvia has the controls. She knows. I'm teaching her how to do the controls. She would have took over. But back to what I was saying. And I apologize. That will happen from time to time, Sylvia, just to let you know, because Blog Talk Radio is working on some bugs. But as long as you stay on, it'll keep going, as long as you have callers on the air. But at any event, I think that the NBA playoffs is coming down to, like Jeff said, a war of attrition. You have players, because the season's so long, players are going down. You know, I'm not saying it's because they're soft. I'm not saying because they work too hard during the regular season. But you're seeing folks get decimated by injury. I would have said, and I did say a couple weeks ago, that the Oklahoma City Thunder was going to go to the NBA Finals. Then when Westbrook went down, well, you saw what happened yesterday.
But see the key thing about Westbrook's injury, you know what I'm saying, wasn't just the injury. It was the mental toughness and the heart that's missing. It is a huge vacuum over that joint. I'm looking around now, I'm just like, yo, these dudes are soft.
And let me say this. I think there's a reason why. I think the referees have changed the game with their rules. Like, they have basically made the center, you know, and instinct, you know, like they're no longer exist. That's why, Kevin, it's hard for Howard to exist, because who's challenging him in college, you know, or in high school, or you know, wherever he started. So now you can't even bump a player going through the lane. When I first started playing, that was the first thing I learned. You body check anybody coming in this lane. This is my lane. I'm the center. You try to shoot it, I'm blocking everything. But if you try to cut through here, I'm gonna bump you to death. Now you cannot dislodge anybody. You can't hand check anybody. They've made the game more finesse. Therefore, people aren't working on just being tough and physical. It's changed the game. They want it to be more fast-paced. I think the economy has to do with that. People want to see high-scoring games and dunks and action-packed games. And so now it's less physical because of that. Coaches spend less time on making their guys tough and mentally tough and all this kind of stuff. So I think it's just a product of what the referees and what the league has created. Now, this is the backlash that they have to deal with.
Well, what about the fundamentals? I mean, what about – because Shaq made a brilliant point about Howard. I mean, the dude don't got no go-to moves. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, right. I think that the season is too long. I think it's a long season. And so because the season is so long, as soon as the season is over, these guys are fishing, vacationing. They're not working on fundamentals and working on their game. Once you get to the professional level, like once I made it to the WNBA, I learned less than I did all my years collectively playing basketball. You don't learn anymore because now you're a pro. So they're not teaching you. They're just getting all the people from North Carolina, Duke, Tennessee, Connecticut, all the top programs, and getting us all on the same page in terms of terminology and philosophy. But you're not learning anything because you're supposed to know it all right now. So they're not learning these things. You got to hire a trainer and get what you need in the off season. You need more conditioning? Well, get on the bike and run more. You need more strength and conditioning? Get in the weight room. But it's not done as a team. The whole team concept is gone once you become a pro. You don't eat pregame meal as a team. You don't have weight training as a team. You got a weight partner. You got 10 lifts for the month. And if you don't get it done, Rasheed Wallace, then you'll be fined $10,000 at the end of the month. Rasheed never lifted, so he just said, I'll take the fine. So he got fined all year long. So you're going to be as strong as you possibly can in college. Once you get to the pros, now there are some guys who take pride in their physique and their build. They're doing that on their own with personal trainers. But in my opinion, a season is way too long. So in the off season, they got to rest their bodies. Now they're not working on their game. And because the season is too long, that's why you have so many injuries. And now they're playing USA basketball after the season for their country. You know, they catch backlash if they don't compete for their country, even though you don't get paid for USA basketball. You get paid off the endorsements, but you don't get paid money. I'm a gold medalist Olympian, you know. You don't get a dime for that. You just play for the honor of your country. Well, who's going to do that? My real money maker is during the season. I'm sitting out. But then you'll catch backlash from all the public, and it's hard to get endorsements, so you do it. So at what point in time do these guys rest their bodies and their minds? They don't. I like to see the playoffs extended, because once the playoffs are over, I'm thinking, what kind of basketball? You know, I got to switch to the WNBA, but, I mean, I went from college basketball. Once March Madness is over, I'm depressed. And so now, okay, here comes the playoffs. Here comes the playoffs. I'm watching games every night. Spread that out. Let these guys get some rest in between, you know, and so that we can see better games. Possibly, because now they're rested, and now you'll see less injuries, you know. But they have to figure out a way to shorten the season, and that way guys can work on their free throws, Dwight Howard, on off season, you know, and work on.
But you honestly think he gonna work on it though?
If he had, you know, yeah. If he had a longer off season, he better for the longevity of his career. I think he's working
on
strength. I think he's working on getting stronger, because now it's a hack of Howard, you know. And so the stronger he gets, the less effective his touch. He's trying to rely on touch instead of shooting it. Like, he's just pushing the ball. You could tell, like, his elbow is not fully extended every time he shoots. So now he's got to figure out just how much to extend
his
elbow.
His mechanics is terrible.
He can never be consistent like that. You got to have the same shot every time, fully extend your elbow, and go up instead of out. But the stronger he gets, the worse those free throws are getting. And I think he's focusing on strength, and he might shoot some free throws every day after practice, but he just needs a few workouts of only free throws.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only is she a former coach, a former player, but she also does consulting on the side. I'm telling you, that's what she does. Sylvia Cross.
And now commentating.
Well, how much would you charge to consult my cousin? Because he needs some help. He needs some counsel. He needs some consultation.
Can I finish promoting my host, please? I appreciate that. I still love you, though. Sylvia Crowley. Time Out with Sylvia Crowley. Starting May 13th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Look for, with that type of insight, guests. I'm not saying she's going to get them, but guests like Tony Dungy. And I know you have something going on with a coaching, a coaching concept of some sort that you're going to get into on your show. So I'm not going to spill the beans on that. That's your show. I'm going to let you do what you do. But this young lady is a wealth of knowledge. I'm just putting it out there. We've got about 16 minutes left of live air, ladies and gentlemen. I've enjoyed the conversation. We talked about basketball. But I want to get into a couple other sports, and one of which we didn't really get into this past Saturday, but I know my cousin is loving it, because I heard him and Jerry talk about it a little bit after last week, but boxing. Now, Sylvia, and I need to get Jeff's thoughts on this too, because I really haven't talked to Jeff about this. Boxing versus MMA. I'm going to give my quick spiel on it, Sylvia, and I mainly want you and Jeff to talk about it, because I already know where my cousin's coming from, but I want to hear two fresh perspectives. And Jeff, I'm going to start with you, because there's a super fight that Dana White of the UFC wants to bring in. He wants to bring John Jones versus Anderson Silva to Madison Square Garden and make it the super fight for MMA. That's his goal. He wants to do that by the end of the year, depending on if Anderson Silva wins his next bout. In boxing, the main draw is Floyd Mayweather Jr. And I contended several months ago that there isn't anyone ready to take his place and be that big money draw. Canelo is a very talented fighter. I like him. But I don't think he has that staying power as far as drawing money like Mayweather does. He dispatched Trout, the Zab Judah fight. I told my cousin, Zab Judah still has it after this long career, but he was getting his butt whooped for the majority of that fight. I keep calling her Cynthia. I mean Sylvia. What in the world am I doing? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But, yeah, we've got him on there, some other fights. Tell me a little bit, because I know you got to go, because I admit I watch Scandal, too. My wife has one. I like Olivia Pope. I would love Olivia Pope, too. But tell me your thoughts on that, MMA versus boxing, and which one do you think has the most draw? Then I want to hear Jeff's thoughts on MMA going to the Big Apple and that super fight.
Oh, Vic, you got me out of my territory. I'm one of those people that if I don't know much about it, then I won't say much about it. You know, I don't want to front like I know. I am a big fan of Mayweather. I don't think anybody's ready to take his place.
Thank you, darling.
You had to get that there. I'm sorry.
I told you, Sylvia. I'm willing to pay for any type of counseling services for my cousin. I'm willing to pay.
Whatever, hater. So you're not going to comment on it? It's okay.
No, okay. I don't think anybody could take.
No, you said enough.
I'm sticking with that.
You said enough, beautiful. You said enough.
Hold on,
you spoke in volumes.
Hold on, Michael. All right, let me ask you a question. What about this guy that's supposed to be the problem, flushing his money down the toilet just to prove a point?
Mayweather?
He's talking about a boxer, Boner. His last name is Boner.
Yeah.
And Victor has a big problem with boxers and their antics. You know, some people do silly things, stupid things, and one of the things that this young man did was take and flush some money down the toilet and took pictures of it and put it on Instagram and stuff like that.
$100 bills.
Yeah.
Flushed them like it was nothing, like it was toilet paper.
He flushed them right down the toilet. Yeah.
So, see that Instagram we were just talking about, Sylvia?
Mm-hmm.
Instagram.
Yeah, I don't understand the point in that. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You should never flush money down a toilet. I don't even get that. But I do know that boxing, it's about marketing. It's about promoting. And so some of those guys say and do some things just to draw attention. And
any attention,
whether it's positive or negative, I mean, they work from the Kanye West perspective. Any attention is good attention or publicity.
Thank you.
So,
Thank you, darling. I'm really liking her.
I just think you should be a good steward of your money, because as quick as it's come, I mean, we've seen from the 30-30 series that come on, it can go just as quick. So, I mean, if you're not a good steward of what you have today, you will wake up one day and it will be gone.
I know you got to go and take care of your business.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a Scandal party, so I got to go, guys. It's been real. I'm going to tune into this show more often, and hopefully you all tune into mine.
Oh, you know it. You know it. Let me give you one more pub before you go. And if you have any questions on what we need to do with this board and stuff, because there's some other things I can show you, give me a call and let me know. But ladies and gentlemen, May 13th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK, Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Thank you very much, Sylvia. We'll talk
Thank
to you
Thank you,
later.
Guys. It's been real.
Bye, Sylvia. Peace.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jeff the Joker.
I watched a lot of boxing growing up. I don't watch it too much now. I've tried to watch MMA. It doesn't appeal to me. I actually met an MMA fighter, Matt Hamill, a real nice guy, big hero in the deaf community. And I saw he had his big pay-per-view fight, and he got beaten pretty soundly by Rampage. I was very disappointed. Like, I felt like a little kid, like that kind of disappointed. Is MMA even legal in New York? I'm not kidding.
Dana White is trying to get it legalized. He's trying to get a license in New York so that they can have that super fight, because that's the fight all MMA fans want to see.
You know what? Yeah, he could have that fight, but, you know, it's no gimme for him legalizing it in New York, because I think I saw this on ESPN a year or two ago. I mean, you know, this guy, Dana White, you know, he thinks he's hot poop, you know, so he just, you know, talks about, oh, you know, if this state and that state legalize MMA, there's a lot of money in it for them, and he thinks that they're just going to, you know, swoon over him, and, you know, somebody's And you know, it's kind of insulting to the politicians who you kind of have to wine and dine to get them to legalize it. And, you know, some of these guys, some of the politicians do have good intentions. And I know one of the politicians in New York State seemed very sincere and very adamant that he didn't want the sport in his state, you know. And he didn't care about, you know, it'll bring a few bucks into the economy. Whoop-de-doo. You know, it's a large state with a lot of money already, you know. And, you know, some people just automatically hate MMA and some people love it. I'm kind of neutral. But, you know, when they were first starting out, they were in states that didn't even have boxing commissions because that was the only place they could operate. Now the sport's become very popular. Like I said, I watch it once in a while. I don't get it. I mean, to me, boxing is much more civilized. And I like contact sports, you know. But, you know, when the guy has the other guy on the mat and he's pounding him and the crowd is screaming, that looks barbaric, you know. Boxing looks much more controlled, much more civilized. But I think the reason MMA gained in popularity is just because for years, everybody said, oh, boxing is so poorly run, there's no central authority, and yada, yada. It's gonna slip, and MMA has filled the void. You know, and one of the reasons I think I lost interest in boxing was just seeing one lousy pay-per-view fight after another and one bad decision after another.
Yep.
You know, you get tired of that after a while. You know, I mean, some fans, they just keep coming back for more, but not this one, you know.
And boxing is
a very corrupt sport, you know.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, we were talking about it on the Saturday show. My cousin came on. And the three matches that they had set or that are coming up, you had the Zab-Judah fight, you had the Canelo-Trout fight, and now you've got Mayweather and Guerrero. Those are three good fights that can possibly draw more attention to the folks that are the younger folks that are going away from boxing. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's still a lot of folks that follow boxing, but if they can put on a trio of fights to entertain, like those three fights have the potential to do, they can draw. But you made my point for me, Jeff. I got tired of seeing fights that were either quote-unquote fixed, you know, not a particularly good fight, things that weren't really interesting to me. And then, you know, when I joined the military, I learned about MMA. I saw what it was. Yeah, MMA has some of its dull moments, but it also has some good stuff in it, too. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm saying exactly what you're saying about boxing. We got a call from 717. I'm going to bring them in and let them talk about, I believe they want to talk about boxing. We got 5 minutes left of live there, so I'm going to bring them in. Caller from the 717, welcome to FSP Crew Show. Please state your name.
Hey, guys. Mike from Pittsburgh. I wanted to get Joker's reaction. I don't know if you saw the press conference where Guerrero's dad basically called Mayweather a wife beater. He called him out in front of the press conference, and it was a very strange moment because Oscar De La Hoya came in, and he kind of had a shocked look on his face. I'm just curious, Joker, if you got a chance to see this guy Guerrero's dad actually call Mayweather a wife beater and really diss him.
You know, thanks for calling. I didn't see that, but some of these press conference and post-fight antics are a lot like pro wrestling, which, to me, I think pro wrestling is good entertainment. I don't see why so many people dislike it. But, you know, these press conferences and get ridiculous, so I'm going to have to look for that on YouTube.
Thanks for the call, 717. I didn't get your name, but thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening to the show. I heard about it, and it's been a battle between Mayweather's dad and Guerrero's dad. They've been saying stuff back and forth, I guess, to hype the fight up. You know, it's been a lot of trash talk between the camps and not the fighters. You know, it's something different. It's something different. You don't normally see the fathers of the boxers mixing it up. Rather, you see the boxers mixing it up. We've got about 3 minutes left of live there, so I want to say these couple things, and then I'm going to pass it on for parting shots before we go off. But ladies and gentlemen, I promise you we are doing some wonderful things here on Fantasy Sports and Politics. We're welcoming Sylvia Crawley to the family. She brings her own unique brand and style to the group. Again, as I said, she has her own magazine, real magazine that you can go to Border Books and pick up. The name of her magazine, I'm trying to get to it, is Monarch. And right now the cover for Monarch is Brandy. Brandy Grace is the cover of Sylvia's magazine. Go to Border Books. It's about the business professional lifestyle. That's what Sylvia's magazine is about, so you can check that out. You also see if you can get the app for it. Also, Kim will be returning, I hope, in June. She's going through a lot of transition right now, so hopefully Kim will return in June. And having those two back-to-back is dynamic. Mondays and Tuesday with Kim Compassion Dakini, two very powerful women with very powerful messages, bringing a different flavor to what it is we do. Then on Thursday, today, you would have FSP Crew Show with Jeff, Jerry, and Black, chopping it up just like we're doing now, just like myself, my cousin, and Jeff and Sylvia were doing, about whatever's going on in the world of sports. Then you have Friday, No Chaser, Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor. Tomorrow I'll be sitting in for Jerry with Mac. Mac will have a special guest. I'm not sure exactly who it is. I believe it'll be a female guest, and we're going to talk about that. Hopefully no one calls in and asks how Sylvia dunked on him, but I got a feeling we're going to get that anyway. Then on Saturday, we've got FSP Show. I have to work, so hopefully Jerry will hold the fort down, and my cousin will stop in, and they'll chop it up and talk about what's going on in the world of sports. Then on Sunday, you've got The Master Plan, JTATM Money, going in, all in, on everything. You never know what Jerry's going to talk about. All these shows are right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. My cousin, Rome Solo Real Talk, real quick, 20 seconds or less, Mike. Tell us what you got.
We're going to be relaunching Grown Soul and Real Talk. But it's May the 15th or 16th. We relaunching Grown Soul and Real Talk. We're gonna be launching the website, and I'm gonna be out here. I'm gonna get back out here on tour. So look for me in the city near you, and check out Grown Soul and Real Talk. You can check us out at facebook.com/grownsoul, and catch us every Tuesday and Wednesday night.